Blog Talk Radio.
Show where we come to you each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Our regular hosts are Steve Thompson, Margaret Barnes, Chuck Albright, Howard Mucci, George Jen, Jim Grayville, and occasionally we are honored to have Lou Ann Wiggins. Hopefully you might even pop up tonight on our radio show. Me, I'm Neil Holland. I'm broadcasting from Ponte Vedra, Florida, just a suburb from Jacksonville. And our hosts who are on the air tonight with you, we don't have all of the compliment of our host tonight. Jim Hart is on a vacation. George Jen is also on a vacation. But we do have with us tonight Chuck Albright down in beautiful central Florida at a very popular destination for retirees. Tell us about it, Chuck. You're in the Villages. How are you, Chuck?
I'm doing just great. We've had some wonderful weather the last couple of days. We have had rain, not as much as you guys up north of us. You've had more rain than us, but enough to make the grass grow and the flowers bloom and quit long enough for us to go out and play a good round of golf. In fact, that's what I'm going to do tomorrow morning at 7:45. Hope you guys were here. How's your day?
Also on a golf course is Steve Thompson. I don't know whether you're playing much golf up there, Steve, but I understand you've had quite a bit of rain. How goes it up there in Roaring Gap, North Carolina?
Well, the arc is almost finished. We've had so much rain that it's just about to float. And golf courses are closed around here because we have had too much rain. And the high temperature today was 68 degrees.
Wonderful, delightful, at least in the evening. And Margaret Barnes usually is accompanying me here in the studios of Eastern Airlines Radio Show. But Margaret has decided to take a vacation also. She's visiting with her parents in the magic town of Hazard, Kentucky. Margaret, are you with us?
I am, Captain Neil. Hello to everyone. It's actually quite warm up here. I thought it was supposed to be cooler, but I believe I drove into the heat. So hello to everyone again, and I will be back in Jacksonville on Wednesday.
Now, that takes care of the host that will be with us this evening. We do have one that might stop by the studio and chat with us, or maybe up there in Kentucky with Margaret. Let's tell you a little bit about what we have, I should say, how to listen to us. First of all, if you're hearing this broadcast, you're listening to us, so that should be very simple. However, if you want to call in and talk with any of your hosts or just contribute a comment and your thoughts about the subject or any subject that you have, especially if the subject is Eastern Airlines, but you can reach us at two numbers. One is a long-distance number, and if you have unlimited long-distance, you might want to use area code 213-816-1611. Again, that's area code 213-816-1611. or you can call us toll-free. That number is area code 877-572-1681. Correction, 1861. So those are the two numbers. That's toll-free, 877-572-1861. And you can talk with us. By the way, just as a reminder, if you want to be on air, when you pop up on our screen, won't be able to say anything to us or make any comments until you hit the number 1 on your keypad of your telephone. So just hit the telephone keypad, and you'll be on the air, and we can talk with you, and you can talk with us. So it's very simple to do. We do have two websites that you can listen to our radio show. As a matter of fact, we have listeners from around the world, over 40 countries, that listen to us every Monday night. And perhaps someone from China, as far away as China, have the Federation of Korea. What is it, North Korea? They had somebody listening to us from North Korea. So that's the beautiful thing about cyber radio. You're not limited to how far your signal can get out, because this is around the world, this signal. And so we have a number of listeners that enjoy our shows. I hope they enjoy our shows. I know they enjoy listening to our host and the skits sometimes that we put on. They're always enjoyable to do. But we have usually around anywhere from 1,500. We've had as high as over 2,000 listeners in one evening session. So we feel like we're getting out some good information, especially with Eastern Airlines. Now, before we go into our show this evening, I think you'll enjoy, let's listen to a fabulous Eastern Airlines commercial.
Ryan, look! There's a new kind of plane! That's Eastern's new Boeing 727 jet! Look how high the tail is! 34 feet! Look where they put the jets! In the tail assembly. That's one reason it's so quiet. The passengers are always riding ahead of the sound. Where does it fly to? I don't know.
It flies north. You can hightail it on Eastern's new 727 jetliner to Washington, Philadelphia, and Boston. And a unique new dining service is worth writing home about. Choose from a selection of superb entrees like lobster Newburgh, filet mignon with Bordelaise sauce. Prepare it as you like it. Eastern 727 jet. Quiet as a library. The smartest way to leave town? Come fly with Eastern.
That commercial gives me very warm feelings for a company that I love. And also, that commercial came out in the 60s. Of course, Eastern took delivery, I believe, in 1964 or 65 of their first, as a matter of fact, any carrier's first Boeing 727. A beautiful airplane, a wonderful airplane, and a great airplane to fly. Now, let's see what's happening up there in Kentucky. Hello, Captain Paul, and I believe, Lou Ann, you're with Captain Paul. I see we have two representatives of Air Kentucky. How are you both this evening? See if you can share the microphone, and I'll see if I can set you up so you can talk with us.
Hey, Captain Neil and all you EAL listeners. I'm Captain Paul from Air Kentucky. Thanks for inviting me to your show. Lou Ann and I have just returned from the Bluegrass Music Festival at Hold Down here in Hazard, Kentucky. We had a right good time, didn't we, Lou Ann?
Lordy mercy, Captain Paul. You know this is the biggest event in these parts of Kentucky.
Well, I'm not quite sure I know what a hoedown is, Lou Ann. Would you care to explain exactly what you're talking about?
I'd be happy to, Captain Neil, because I thought everybody's been to a square dance. Now, a hoedown is a community get-together where you got fiddles, you got your mandolins, you got your banjos, and on occasion, you get that honky-tonk piano, and that's where everybody's just kicking up their heels and just having a great time. Now, it's not like that sissy two-step or that box-step type of dancing. Because you know what, Captain Neil? You almost have to be an athlete to do it right.
Don't forget, Luann, you have to have a good caller, and we've got the best caller in all of Kentucky. Orville P. Livergood, king of the hoedown.
Well, it's what we call up here in Perry County, square dance rapping. Now, good old Orville P., he's the best there is. You know, he's got all kinds of trophies and blue ribbons for his square dancing calling.
Hey, Luann, it's me, Steve.
Hey, Captain Steve, I haven't talked to you in such a long time, but you know what? I'll be seeing you guys next week when I get back off my vacation.
Well, we're looking forward to that, and it's good that you can call in, as we always want to know your whereabouts. And I take it now you're in the great state of Kentucky, the state of beautiful horses and fast women. Now,
that's
I have
right.
a question for Captain Paul. Captain Paul, what kind of airplane is Air Kentucky flying these days?
Well, our main fleet consists of two real pretty blue Lear jets with 9 seats. That's that Wildcat blue, you know. We were plumb full flying over here to the hoedown. Luann, of course, really charmed the passenger with her special flight attendant skills. You know how she is. Oops! Sorry, guys. Gotta go. Got an emergency call to fly Judge Jimmy Joe Allen into Louisville. He's found a fancy restaurant in Louisville that fixes a dandy plate of crawdads, or at least that's what he says. So, happy trails. See you in the air. Air Kentucky, that is.
I've heard of one of them. Who is the other one?
Well, Chuck, you must be talking about those famous people out of Hazard. And, you know, but just to give you an idea, now, you know, we always flew the cast in that old Dukes of Hazard TV series. Do you remember them?
I sure do.
Well, now, the characters or the charter that we just brought in for this big event had two very famous people on it. Now, have you heard, I'm sure you have, Ernest P. Worrell and Loretta Lynn?
Well, like I said, I've heard of one of them. Who's the other one?
Now, Chuck, honey, you'd be lost if you didn't wear pointed shoes to show you where you're going. Why, Loretta Lynn is a famous country singer from Butcher Hollow right here in Kentucky, and I believe she married Oliver Vannetta Lynn at age 14, and they had 4 children by the time she was 17, and she even became a grandmother at age 29. Now, you know, she always had
a
passion. Oh, yes, what?
What's the? Do you know what the average age is for a wedding, a marriage up there in Kentucky? Do they have any special exceptions?
Well, you know, Captain Neil, I do know, but if I told you, I'd have to hurt you, because that's not common knowledge anymore. We try to keep that a secret.
Sorry to interrupt. Go right ahead.
Well, I was just talking about Loretta having that passion for music, and you know, she sang in concerts and churches, and it's been told that her husband bought her a guitar when she was 18, and she even taught herself how to play. And to this date, she's written over 160 songs and released 70 albums. Now, we folks from Kentucky, we stay right busy.
Luann, I know who Loretta Lynn is. Who's the other one?
Well, I must admit I gave you the wrong name of the same person. Actually, Jim Varney, known for his character Ernest P. Worrell, was born in Lexington, Kentucky, and he's probably best known for his portrayal of redneck stereotypes, but, you know, in a friendly sort of way. Now, his character, Ernest, was used in many TV commercials and movies, and in fact, he's one of Kentucky's most famous comic entertainers. Now, please don't tell me you still don't know who he is. You know, Chuck, I'm going to have to educate you when I get back to hosting the radio show.
Well, Luann, I'll take all the help I can get to bring you up to speed on what's going on in Kentucky. How about that high society that you got there?
And Captain Paul, if you can hear me now, I've just going to comment that I used to fly Lear jets, and I sure enjoyed flying them. It's almost like driving a fine sports car, as a matter of fact, better. Do you have good rated power for the versions that you fly?
Well, Captain Steve, this is Lou Ann again, because I can't get Captain Paul on the radio. You know, he's on that emergency flight going over there about those crawdads. But I do know what he would tell you. He would tell you that all the exhausts are like the straight pipes that we used to have on our souped-up cars back in the 50s and 60s. And, you know, back then, I think the best pipes you could get was called Smitty's. And maybe you remember them, but shucks, you ain't seen nothing till you see us coming through the air. I'm talking about our Kentucky planes. And, you know, when Captain Paul comes sashaying over the fence at the airport, even the lovers on Lover's Lane come up for a breath of air, because they got to see us when we squat down on that runway, just as smooth as a June bug lightning on a blade of grass.
Luann, you left last Thursday, and I understand you usually drive straight through to Kentucky, to Hazard. That's about 10 or more hours, I guess. How was your trip up there?
Well, gosh, far, Captain Neal. You know, have you ever gone on a trip on I-75? But, you know, I reckon because you're always flying in them fancy planes, you probably just look down and see us just poor folk enjoying a drive through the countryside. But I have a story to tell you, Captain Neal. While I was driving, a Georgia state trooper pulled me over on I-75 near Calhoun, and he said to me, "Got any ID?" And I said, "About what?" Well, he didn't fancy that too much, and he asked, where am I out of?" I guess he can't figure out what I'm saying, and I tell him Kentucky. Well, you know, he smarts back at me, and he said, "Hell, the only good thing good out of Kentucky is this here road I-75. Well, quite naturally, I'm going to smart back at him, and that's when things sort of came unglued. But to ask you or answer your question, how long did it take me from Florida to Kentucky? About 2 nights and 12 hours. Yep, 2 nights in the pokey and 12 hours on the road.
Oh, Luann, you really didn't spend 2 nights in jail.
Well, Chucky, if you ain't done time in a local jail up here where I'm from, then you can't graduate from middle school.
Luann, as you know, our show last week was about aircraft maintenance with funny write-ups. Do you know of any unusual write-ups by fellow pilots with Air Kentucky?
Well, I think Captain Paul told me one the other day, and let me see if I can remember how it went. I think he said he was looking at a write-up from one of the senior captains, and it went something like this: "I got a leak in the lavatory sink." Well, it was signed off by Billy Ray Wiggins. I hate to say he's my first cousin. He's really our best mechanic. But anyway, so he wrote in the logbook, "Well, go ahead then. Did you get it? Got a leak in the sink?" And he said, "Go ahead." Well,
that's funny.
I have to tell you, I had to chuckle at that, and I've been laughing about that. But I hate to say, my cousin, he ain't the sharpest tool in the cutting department, if you know what I mean. But that ain't nothing. Last week, Billy Ray was out walking around one of our little blue Learjets. You know, we had them red, but we painted them blue because, you know, Kentucky's colors are white and blue for UK. I have to say it on the air, go big blue. But anyway, so Billy Ray looks like he's about to lose his coveralls with his, you know, and he's got his pockets full. So I said, "Hey, Billy Ray, what you got in your pockets?" "Just some tools," he said back to me, and I say, "Well, if I guess how many they are, can I have one?" And he said, "Shoot, if you guess right, I'll give you both of them." Well, you know, he never was really bright. So I said, five, and he never did get it.
Well, is there any exciting news out of Kentucky that we should know about, Luann?
Well, you know, did you hear about the governor's mansion over in Lexington burning down?
No.
Nope. Absolutely. Pertnir took out the whole trailer park. Even the library was a total loss. Both books, poof, just up in flames. And, you know, they hadn't finished coloring one of them. But all in fun. I'm just kidding. Well, Captain Neil, I just got a call to accompany Captain Paul on another emergency run. So I'm going to say good night, everybody. Good night, all the EAL listeners, and I'll be back next week. Bye.
Okay.
Good night, Luann.
Hey, Luann, one thing. Yes. Please tell the Chamber of Commerce to listen to this, please, tonight, this radio show.
When I do, I'm going to change my name.
Home. Okay.
I believe I'll change my name to Linda Smith when I tell them about it.
There
All
you
right.
go.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Now, let's listen to a song from the 60s and see if you guys can remember the name of it. And, well, the name of it is going to be evident in the song itself, but see if you can recall it.
There's a man in the funny papers we all know. He lived way back a long time ago. He don't eat nothing but a bear cat stew. Well, this cat's name is Alley-Oo. Got a chauffeur that's a genuine dinosaur, and he can knuckle your head before you count to four. He got a big ugly club and a head full of howlers, like great big lions and grizzly bears. The toughest man that is alive.
Alley-oop.
Wearing clothes from a wildcat's hide.
Alley-oop.
He's the king of the jungle jazz.
Look at that caveman go.
He rides through the jungle tearing limbs off of trees.
Alley-oop.
Knocking great big monsters dead on their knees.
Alley-oop.
The cats don't bug him cause they know better. Cause he's a mean motor scooter and a bad go-getter. He's the toughest man there is alive. Wears clothes from a wildcat tie. He's the king of the jungle jive.
Look at that caveman go.
There he goes. Look at that caveman go. He sure is hip, ain't he? Like what's happening? He's too much. Right, daddy, right. Hi-yo, dinosaur. Right, daddy, right. Get him, man. Like hip.
You know, that was at the top of the charts in 1960, and it was recorded by the Hollywood Argyles. I think there were about five in that group, and that was a fun song, and I thought it would kind of lend a little humor to the presentation we just did. Now, to get down to more serious things, by the way, host, do any of you remember Alley-Oop?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That was a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, it was a one-hit wonder. That's right. But it was a fun song, and I like the way they rhymed, tried to rhyme their lyrics. But now, more seriously, and I don't know whether it's that serious or not, but I kind of researched some famous sayings all of these are by Eastern people. And we're going to present some of these quotes that have been recorded by certain individuals like Captain Eddie and Dick Merrill. Steve, you have the first quote by an Eastern person that of fame, a pilot. Would you go ahead and tell us about that quote?
Yes, this came from Robert Sterling's From the Captain to the Colonel. And it was a story about Dick Merrill ordering fuel. and he was one of the few pilots who could usually get hard-nosed dispatchers to go along with his chicanery. And he said, he ordered, go ahead and top the tanks, but show me carrying 400 gallons. And, of course, this was so that he would be legal on his takeoff, but he'd have all the fuel that he wanted.
He could get away with it.
Yes, he could.
Yes.
Hey, Chuck, you got another one.
Yeah, I got another one from Captain Dick Morrow. This is from Robert Sterling's, from the Captain of the Colonel. Morrow, he flew virtually every Eastern inaugural trip that came along, also special VIP flights, all with Rickenbacker's orders. And I think he was a little disturbed on this one when he said, damn it, Eddie, I'm the only airline pilot around here.
Yeah, I think Eddie really worked him over.
I think he worked him over a little bit there.
Yeah, but you know,
this one is from
one thought here, Steve. I'm going to interrupt here, but one thought about people would actually find out who was the captain on a flight, let's say from New York to Miami, and they would look for a particular flight with Dick Morrow flying as a captain. And they would prefer to go, didn't matter really what time it was, they just preferred to fly with Captain Dick Morrow. He was a legend. Steve, go ahead with your comment. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this one is from a Floyd Hall friend and admirer. He says, you look at Floyd and you think you're seeing a William Powell type of guy. Very fastidious, nonchalant, and easygoing. But when you got to know him, he was more a John Wayne or even on occasion a Wallace Berry. He could talk about opera one minute and ream you out like a Marine drill instructor the next.
That was pretty heavy, yo.
Yeah. Chuck?
Yeah, next one is still from Robert Sterling's, from the Captain and the Colonel. And what it was is he was a DC-2 pilot, and when he was asked what kind of weather conditions was he encountering, he said, light rain on the outside, heavy rain on the inside. I don't think they were that weather repellent.
They didn't use enough putty around the edges of the windshield, I guess. But I always heard that it was wet on the inside, wetter on the inside than it was on the outside in a rainstorm. This was another one when asked by a pilot at a meeting. Eddie Rickenbacker was asked by a pilot at a meeting why Eastern had no stewardesses when the other airlines did. And as all of us with Eastern remembered back, I guess it was in the 40s, that Captain Eddie made the decision to get rid of all the flight attendants, or stewardesses as they were called then, and replace them with male flight attendants or male stewards. To give the proper word back in those days, male stewards. But he was asked by a pilot at the meeting why Eastern had no stewardesses when the other airlines did. And Captain Eddie's comment was, damn it, because you bastards are making enough dough to buy your own girls. girls,
that wouldn't go over too well today.
Yeah. Steve, how about another comment from Captain Eddie?
Yes, he heard of one passenger who delighted in making life miserable for Eastern personnel and quite by coincidence happened to sit next to him on a flight. And the minute Rickenbacker heard the man give his name, the alarm bell rang and Captain opened fire, and the passenger ended up apologizing. And he said to him, Rickenbacker said to the passenger, I've been looking for you, you son of a bitch. You've been browbeating every person on this airline and you've come in contact with, and by God, they don't deserve it. They're doing the best they can, and frankly, I don't care if you never ride this airline again. Chuck.
Sounds like how many.
And he can sure talk politely to folks if he wanted to, couldn't he?
Another quote from Cap Maddie. From the Captain and the Colonel. If it wasn't on the SPAD, we couldn't have it. Now, who knows what a SPAD is?
I think it's a biplane that's made of fabric, and it was used in World War I that Captain Eddie made famous.
You're
in the air squadron that the 94th Air Squadron?
94th Air Squadron. Yes,
and
sir.
That was the circle with the hat in the middle of it, which was the hat in the ring.
Hat in the ring. You're pretty good at that.
And the hat in the ring.
Steve?
Yes.
Well, first of all, talking about that hat in the ring, since we brought up the subject.
Sure.
Do you remember when that was introduced to Eastern employees? And that, I can't remember at the suggestion of whom made the comment, but it was suggested that they give it every 20 years of service for every employee, that they would use that logo or that service pin with the hat and the ring. And, of course, anyone that had over 20. It was eventually changed to 25 years. At the first meeting, I think they went up to 25 years. And then once you had 25 years, the next time you had so many years, you got a diamond and so forth for every 5 years, I believe. Is that right, Steve?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Must have been in the 60s, because my dad would get service. He would get a service pin. They were gold wings. They were actually gold. He gave me most of all of his, actually. I got them in a box here at the house. And they were lapel pins. So he stayed with them until 52. So the hat and the ring must have come after 52, because he never got one.
Yeah. Okay. Steve, you got another one?
Yes. Captain Eddie was having a conversation with Brad Walker about language to go in Eastern's advertising, and he told him never to use the word safe in an Eastern advertisement. We can say air travel is reliable, but there's no such thing as absolute safety. The only time anyone is really safe is when he's completely static. If you move, there's always the possibility of an accident.
Well, how true that is.
Yeah, that's real true.
And also, Captain Eddie, president of Eastern, said to the designers, proudly showing off the seat cover designs for the first turboprop airliner to be operated in the United States. And they were concerned about how it should be covered. And Captain Eddie says, I don't care what you cover the seats with, as long as you cover them with rear ends or butts or a-holes or whatever you want to use that. I won't use the word that he used, butts. There you go. Butts.
There you go.
As long as you cover them with butts. But that was a good comment. I like that. Chuck?
Well, here's my time when I was with Eastern. Frank Borman was quoted as saying, air transportation is just a glorified bus operation. There was always been a certain romanticism associated with the airline business, but we must avoid its perpetration at Eastern at all costs.
Well,
I always thought that Frank Borman was a person who was not born of the airline age, so to speak, even though he was an astronaut. I worked there at Eastern when he was CEO and president, but I never really heard that one. Has anybody ever heard him say that?
He didn't want it to be perpetuated at Eastern Airlines. He said we must avoid a perpetuation at Eastern at all costs, the romanticism associated with the airline business. And I think it's always been associated with the airline business, don't you guys?
I think
absolutely.
I think it's a great idea that any airline, not just Eastern, but any airline, would go ahead and even advertise that, because that puts what you call butts in the seats.
Yeah, and I think also we're getting away from that romanticism that the airline industry once had. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. As a matter of fact, major airlines have been bought by individuals who are perpetuating that idea of romanticism of owning an airline.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they know nothing about it.
That's right.
You know, people like, and I'm not just saying because we're older gentlemen, so to speak, and we've been in the airline industry for a long time, and of course, most of my my career was with Eastern Airlines. But the thing is, I think you have to have something in your heart to go out there and work in the rain, if you're on the ground, fly these things in weather that you wouldn't even drive a car in, and think that this is the greatest job in the world. And the new guys, I just don't think that way.
Well, that's a lot of truth in that, Chuck. And I know that's why we have a radio show. That's why we have people listening to our radio show around the world. And that's why we have the EARA newspaper. We have the Retired Eastern Pilots Association, the Silver Liners, and some other organizations that represent the retired, not voluntarily, but retired forcibly by the fact that we went out of business. And they all still love Eastern Airlines. And so, yeah, a lot of love for an airline. I don't care whether you loaded baggage or took the baggage at the curbside, or you were a mechanic or a flight attendant or whatever. We constantly hear people and see people writing letters and emails saying or telling us of their love for Eastern Airlines. Chuck, you've got the next one from Captain Harrington.
Yes, I sure does. This is
Steve.
Oh, wait a minute. We skipped Steve.
Yeah, there was another one that Frank.
This is a long one now.
this is another one attributed to Frank Borman after capitulating to Charlie Bryan's wage demands. It was a three-word response: "We were raped."
Yeah,
that was some.
Well,
guy,
on that note, like you said, I have one from Captain Eddie Harrington. It's from the Captain and the Colonel book. Well, now, I'll be demonstrating how to stop a Connie. Now, that's a constellation for those who don't know.
You're demonstrating?
You grab both hands around the damn yoke, you rear back in the seat, and you stomp the hell out of the damn brake pedals. And that's how you stop a Connie. But now you take a damn DC-7. You take off your shoes, you grab the wheel with your thumbs, you touch the brake with your toes, and that's how you stop a damn DC-7. And that's probably just about right.
I never did fly the 7. Did you fly it, Steve?
Yes. Yes, I did. Uh-huh. And that's a good analogy.
Yeah.
And another time that Captain Eddie was in an elevator with Bob Wynn, a reservation specialist, Wynn asked the captain, says, "What are we doing wrong? We seem to be bickering and fighting all of the time." And the captain responded, "Young man, the day I've stopped fighting with you or anyone else in this company, it's because I've decided you're no damn good and you might as well get the hell out."
So there you go.
Boy, I tell you, he was quite a guy. Here's one about, it's from, again, Robert Serling's from the Captain to the Colonel. And one pilot was talking to another pilot, and this pilot, you'd have to know him, and I didn't know him personally, but I did meet him or see him, and someone pointed him out to me in the Miami terminal, and it was Captain Art St. John, and he was quite an individual. At any rate, he asked a pilot, says, "Got any dirty pictures?" He was referring to the pilot's wife. "You got any dirty pictures of her?" And that was the kind of guy. So you can decide what else that was on his mind. But he was that kind of guy. I'll never forget some of the stories they told about Art St. John. Chuck?
Yeah, the next one's from Captain W.T. Slim Babbitt. And it was in a conference with the president of National Airlines, George T. Baker, during pilot's contract negotiation. Mr. Baker pointed his finger at Slim and said, "You two bastards, Slim and Jerry Woods, have never run an airline. You wouldn't be able if you had the chance." Their answer: "Mr. Baker, maybe we can't run an airline, but we sure as hell keeps one from running."
We sure as hell can keep one from running. In other words, they sure as hell could shut one down.
That's true.
Yeah, Slim Babbitt was quite an individual with Eastern, very much respected. He was eventually number one on the pilot seniority list. And, of course, his son, Randy Babbitt, became the president of the Airline Pilots Association and eventually the director of the FAA. And he just retired here a year or so ago. Steve, your next one?
Yeah, another one from Captain Slim Babbitt. Says, I'd like to thank all you folks for flying Eastern. And that includes Mr. Maytag, who, as all of you know, is president of National Airlines and always flies with us if he wants to get to Miami on time, which was a great one.
That was good. A lot of people never associated the Maytag name with an airline. They always thought they were watch machines.
Well, they were.
They were.
Yeah.
Well, I got one from Captain O. M. Slim's Coquins.
No, that's Slim Cox. Let me get his
Cox.
Name. So anybody listening would know who
Cox.
Slim Cox.
Sorry about
was,
that.
If you were a pilot,
it's from the captain and the colonel. And he said, "Howdy, folks. This is your Captain O. Slim. In a few minutes, these little old girls back there are going to start rattling those pots and pans and whip us up some vittles. You folks just relax, take off your shoes, lean back, and let little old Slim just half take you all the flying." Steve, you got one there?
Yeah, I sure do. This is from one of my favorite characters at Eastern Airlines that I had the opportunity of flying with, Captain Tom Mayberry. And when he was asked how much fuel he needed on an outbound leg, he said, "Top the tanks and give me the S&H green stamps." And this was the usual reply from Uncle Tom after being talked out of taking more fuel than he wanted, nearly running out of fuel on one of his flights. And I remember a statement he always made. He says, "The only time you can have too much fuel on board is when you're on fire." Neil.
Yeah, that's true.
Good.
You know, I flew with Tom Mayberry also. What a guy, a great guy to fly with. But I also remember some of the things that he used to say. And every time he was not flying, of course, the person not flying the airplane would call the company in range. We call it in range. When we were within about 50 miles of the airport, we would call and get the barometric pressure, the altimeter setting, and then what the outboard fuel loading would be and how much fuel we wanted to be put on the airplane for the next leg. But every time old Uncle Tom Mayberry, would call in, don't care what city in on the Eastern system, he would always refer to it as, "Hello, Miami, Georgia. Hello there, Chicago, Georgia. Houston, Georgia, Charlotte, Georgia." He would call every city Georgia, in Georgia. And I thought that was so funny. But he was proud of his home state, and every city on the Eastern system, as far as he was concerned, was in Georgia. Chuck?
Yeah, I got one more. And I'm very happy to say that I met this gentleman. Johnny Ray was Eastern's legendary mechanic, almost lost his job when he shelled out $250 to build the airline's first engine test stand. He did most of the work himself, and the money went largely for materials. But Rickenbacker was on one of his base inspection tours when he spotted the stand. "What the hell did that cost?" he asked sternly. $250, Ray said, his heart sinking. "That's $200 above my $50 limit," the captain exploded. "Are you trying to break the airline?" "No, sir. We needed it," I thought. Captain Eddie stalked away, leaving a trail of Invictus behind him. For days, Ray's expected to be dismissed on notice, but Rickenbacker never brought it up again.
Well, those were some of the comments that I found that were worth printing, and we'll put them on our website so you can look at view some of those website comments. And folks, if you really want to get an insight as to what type of presidents and people that ran the airlines back in the olden days of the propellers and the founders of airlines, as a matter of fact, like Woolman, C.R. Smith, those people that George T. Baker that founded National Airlines, and C.R. Smith, I think, founded Patterson was the founder of United Airlines. And there you can go on the internet and type in your browser famous quotes by airline executives, famous quotes by airline executives, and you will find some of the most humorous stories. Quotes rather, not stories, but you know, short quotes. And you'll find a lot of them about Eddie Rickenbacker. And one that I really enjoyed reading was the president of American Airlines, and that was Crandall, Richard. Was it Robert Crandall?
Robert.
Crandall was a very profane man. He used a lot of peppery language in whatever he said, and in front of whomever he was talking with. Didn't care whether it was the President of the United States. That's the way he was going to talk. And it's kind of interesting to see some of the comments. You'd have to censor every other word that Crandall used. But and some of those guys were very interesting to read their comments, their quotes. So it's a good read if you go to the internet and type in famous quotes by airline executives. You'll find pages and pages of them. You can almost write a book about these gentlemen that were the pioneers of our airlines. Well, that's about all we have there. I do have some announcements. Any discussion about what we've done tonight, Chuck or Steve? I think Luann had to disappear, and she had to leave. Captain Paul is undergoing our thoughts are with Captain Paul. He has had a bout with cancer that he's really been trying to beat the disease, and he's having a hard time with it. So he did record some of the parts that you listened to tonight over the radio, and Luann is, or I should say Margaret, because Margaret is the Luann is a character that Margaret does real well, and I shouldn't tell everybody that because some people actually think they're two separate people, but Margaret does a good job. So,
she does a great job, yes.
Yes, she does. She sure does. Any comments about our show tonight, Steve or Chuck?
It was fun to do, and it certainly brings back a lot of memories.
Just to follow up what you were saying, Neil, I guess we follow the industry and what's going on today. But, you know, what we consider the captains of the airline industry of the past, so to speak, are not being followed up by these people who come in and do the airlines today. They're like you said, they're businessmen. I don't think they have the vision that these captains of the airline industry had. And of course, the airline industry was in its infancy when they all started, you know. We haven't really been flying that long, so to speak, from the time of Kitty Hawk until right up till today. If you look at the timeline of man and what he's accomplished on Earth, but there's only like a few of them left out there. I know and I can't remember his name. It's terrible. The CEO of Southwest is one of those types of people.
Herb. Herb Keller, Keller, I believe.
Keller?
He was a founder of Southwest Airlines, yeah.
Well, I know a couple of stories. You know, he would go out on holidays and dress up as Santa Claus, and he'd actually fly the airplane. Or he'd be out on Easter in a bunny suit putting bags on at the curb. You don't see any CEOs doing that today. And he's just like at Eastern, that the respect we had for Captain Eddie and some of the CEOs that we had, his employees have that same attitude. And that's what I think, why that airline is succeeding today, why others aren't.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chuck. I agree with you 100%. And they were almost celebrities in their time.
Yeah, they were.
People in the airline industry really knew every one of these gentlemen. And a lot of history books, a lot of books have been written about each one of those. Today, you hardly ever see a book that's published about a current CEO. Have you noticed that?
That's true. They don't stay in office very long.
Yeah.
Eddie, you got to realize being a World War One ace and then turning around and being, a lot of people don't know that he was a well-established and an accomplished car racer.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, he accomplished quite a bit in his lifetime.
Yes, he did.
I've got, before we sign off, I've got some information from the EARA newspaper, the latest issue, August 2013. Folks, if you have a chance, you might want to subscribe to the EARA organization, and it's the Eastern Airlines Retiree Association. It's for all former employees of Eastern. We're all former employees of Eastern. And you can get that information on our website, EAL Radio Show. But you'll find that EARA has chapters in several cities. For instance, there are 18 of them, Atlanta, Central Florida area in the Orlando area, Charlotte, North Carolina, the Florida Space Coast, I think it's held up in the Melbourne area, Mexico City, Miami and Fort Lauderdale headquarters. The Midwest is in Chicago as a chapter of EARA in Nashville, Tennessee. One in New Jersey, New York metropolitan area, metro area. There's one in north central Florida around the Ocala area. Orlando, Palm Beach, Florida. And Pittsburgh, there's one over in San Juan. And southwest Florida in the Fort Myers area. One up in Syracuse, the central part of New York. And there is the Tampa chapter that's called REAL, Retired Eastern Airlines, the Tampa chapter. And just a couple of remarks about special events that some of these organizations are having. Even though it's a couple of months in the future, we can mention them from time to time on the radio show and give them a plug. And if you're in those areas that I'll mention tonight about some of these special occasions, most of them are either picnics or lunches or celebrations or whatever. But they have one out in Arizona that's going to be out in the Arizona area. Doesn't say really where in Arizona. Probably in the Phoenix area. Yes, it does say in the Phoenix area. But they're having it, it does say here, a restaurant centrally located in Phoenix. And they're having that on October 26th of this year from 1 p.m. until 5. So they're going to have a good time. 4 hours of Eastern fellowship and good food and perhaps a drink or two. You can reach Jeff at area code 623-327-0647. I'm going to say this real fast, the phone numbers. Don't worry about that because I'm going to post these on the website with the EARA chapters. And you'll be able to see some of these special luncheons and meetings that you need to get back in contact with your fellow workers. There's going to be a fall luncheon out in Chicago. It's going to be Saturday, October 26th, and it's going to be held at the Venuti's Restaurant and Banquet Hall there in Addison, Illinois. Again, I'll publish the telephone numbers on the website. There's another one that is held every month. A lot of the chapters hold luncheons every month, and the one that is really regular in holding their luncheons and great attendance is one called over in the Lake City area of Florida, up at the north end of I-75. It's called the Lake Bunch. Those guys and gals that were former Eastern employees and their spouses, that are in the Lake City area, Florida, and they have their luncheons once a month, and that's located on the Highway 90, and I'll have that published as well. So a lot of good things that you can enjoy that keeps you kind of in contact with Eastern people that you may have not seen in several years. And it's always good, and all of these organizations welcome you to attend and to come in and say hello and share fellowship with them. So that's some of the announcements that I wanted to make tonight. Any of you guys got anything else you want to say? I know, Chuck, I was told the other day, a flight attendant told me that there are 18, I think she said 18 flight, maybe it was 28, Eastern flight attendants living in the villages.
Do they have a get together or?
Well, I don't know. They ought to. There are that many of them there. They ought to even have a chapter there. You ought to organize a chapter for EARA, and I bet you'll have a good showing because there's a great number of pilots that live and mechanics like yourself that live in that area.
You know her name? Did you remember her name or anything?
Yeah, well, this person I talked to last night, she called and just wanted to chat a little bit about the radio show and some Eastern stuff. And she said in the Silver Liners, which is an organization for flight attendants, Eastern flight attendants, and she said that she was talking to one of the flight attendants at the last Silver Liner meeting and said that there were 18 people that lived, the flight attendants that lived in the villages there. So it's a very popular area for retirement there in your area, Chuck.
Well, I can look that up in the directory then.
Yeah, if you have a little newsletter, you ought to put a little ad in there. Wanted Eastern former Eastern employees wanting to start a chapter and organize that chapter. Become president of that chapter, Chuck. You can do it.
You can do it, huh?
The pay's good.
I know. I know.
Well, I don't have much else to add to tonight's show. Do any of you guys want to say anything before Steve signs us off?
Nope, just tune in next week.
Well, I hear the champagne music in the background. And thank you all for joining us this evening, and we hope that you have enjoyed tonight's show. And we look forward to being with you once again next week, same time, same station, on the radio voice of Eastern Airlines when we bring you another exciting Eastern Airlines radio broadcast. And we wish you a very successful week in whatever you undertake to do the coming week. Now just remember, keep the blue side up, have safe airspeed, plenty of altitude, and from all of us, good night, Eastern family.
Good night, Eastern family.
Good night, Eastern family.